Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
11 o'clock hour, trending now, is brought to you by Cape Cod Lumber, your local Anderson window dealer. The Bruins defeated the Leafs 4-1 at the Garden last night to even up their series at one game apiece. Brad Marchand, Patrice Bergeron both had goals. Game 3 tomorrow night in Toronto. Nazem Kadri almost certainly will not be playing after his cross-check on Jake DeBrusk. He will be facing a lengthy suspension. Red Sox fall to the Orioles 9-5 yesterday. They're back at it this afternoon. David Price on the bump. First pitch 1:05, pregame 12:05. Here on the Shaw Star Market, WEEI Red Sox Radio Network, Joe Castiglione, Sean McDonough have you on the call. And Augusta, Francisco Molinari still in the lead at the Masters, three shots over Tiger Woods. The Masters leaderboard is brought to you by, as always, Lake of Isles at Foxwoods. Weather this
line
hour.
Lineup.
It's brought to you by
the
lineup. Right, Brad. We have the Red Sox lineup.
I was waiting for the window.
What do you have?
Okay. Well, there was a lineup, and now they've changed the lineup.
Tell me. Give
Jackie
me the news.
Bradley in the lineup originally.
Okay.
Now he's out.
Why?
Now he's out. I don't know. Who knows?
We have to send Wiggy to the clubhouse
exactly.
to find
Wiggy,
out.
Work your sources.
Work the sources. Work those
Wiggy
sources.
I got a few people down there. We'll get some answers.
Okay. Benintendi leading off. Bet center field. Steve Pierce at first base. J.D. Martinez in right. Xander Bogaerts. Pedroia DHing today. Nunez playing second, Devers at third, Vasquez catching, and Wiggy's guy, David Price, on the hill.
I would give Betts a day
so
off
VP.
Today.
Well, I think they would like to, but they can't. Because...
after his performance yesterday,
okay.
you need to do some fly ball work. Mookie Betts, that's needs to do some fly Ooh. Ball work. Weather this hour is bright to right windows, 60 degrees, partly sunny. Nice day for a ball game. Also a nice day for Reamer, Bradfo, and Wiggy. Third and final hour starts now.
It's time for Reamer, Wiggy, and Bradfo. Alex Reamer, Jermaine Wiggins, and Rob Bradford.
You put together Wiggy, Reamer, and Bradford on Sunday mornings.
I did not.
Like a terrible idea.
The Wiggy thing is strange to me. He's not the best one on the show, so why is he on twice when I'm on once?
Well, you hear what Reamer said about you on Friday?
That's because he's a fraud.
Bradfo Show.
Reamer needs to work as being a number one host.
2 hour a week guy at most.
Wiggy talking baseball. That's going to be a social experiment in and of itself.
Yeah, I don't know how many of his bathhouse stories I can take.
Bradfo's going to want to talk baseball.
It's stretch drive, Chris.
You are Rob Callahan Bradford.
I get bonused on the success of our morning show. If we get sound of Wiggy Bradford and Reamer, that is absolute goldmine.
Well, maybe.
On Sports Radio, WEEI.
We've given them lots of material today.
Oh, my goodness.
Sure. That's for sure.
Goldmine.
Well, listen.
It's the best show of the week.
A great 40-yard dash.
It is the second show of the week, but it is the best show of the week.
It's probably second best to Wiggy and Callahan featuring the Monkey when we had that show.
This show was better.
I
heard that show.
Yeah,
this show was better.
More laughs on this show. We're having a better time. Here we are.
I mean, you know, everything I touch turns to gold. So, you know, it's kind of... Yeah, I don't think I could have a bad show.
Really?
It's impossible.
Really?
Oh, come on. You have to be a little self-critical. You've ever had a bad show?
Huh?
You don't think you've ever had a bad show?
I maybe when I was on with you.
No. Those are great shows. Speaking of which, Wiggy, Kevin in Southampton thinks that I am making you sound smart today. John, if we can pot him up.
What does that mean?
This broke here, the iPad.
What does that mean?
Kevin, are you on the air?
Yes, I am.
Kevin, welcome to the show. Well, how am I making Wiggy sound smart?
Guys, Reamer, I love you. I do.
Thank you.
First. Don't debate politics with Wiggy because I love it when you do it with Callahan. You can't do it with Wiggy.
Why?
Because, first of all, the Curt Schilling thing with a guy dressed in drag, what he's trying to say in that post is that I can walk into a bathroom saying I'm trans. It has nothing to do with age. It has to do with I'm a 50-year-old man. I can walk into a bathroom with 13-year-old girls.
Kevin, not to revisit the transgender argument, Kevin, but Curt Schilling was implying there that transgender people are a threat to young girls in restrooms, which is ridiculous.
That's not true at all.
That's not true. That's what he's insinuating.
The guy dressed, burly dude, is what he's trying to say, is the burly dude can walk into a bathroom with 13-year-old girls.
But we know that's not true, Kevin.
Burly
guys are not walking into women's restrooms.
Kevin, you will not win this argument with Reema. The reason why is because he doesn't have any kids. I have a daughter who's 21 now. And he doesn't have a daughter, so he doesn't understand how certain people could look at that and go, you know what, this is what Schilling's saying. Like Kevin's saying, that there could be a burly man dressed up and saying, you know what, hey, I'm transgender. And not to say that that person's going to do anything, but there are people that just would feel uncomfortable with that.
How else is that a Kevin else do you have?
Guys, honestly. We look at what's going on in this world right now, and people that are doing the things that they're doing, we don't think it's possible.
I do not think a burly man is going to go is dressed in drag is going to go to a girl's restroom to assault women. No, I don't think that's happening.
You don't let us talk. That's the problem with your side. Everything's about hate with you guys.
Right.
We all hate. I have no problem with transgender people. The problem I have is don't say we all hate people because we don't like the law.
Okay.
That's my problem with you.
Thanks, Kevin. Can we hang up on him, John? Thank you. This call screen is completely broke.
Wow, you guys.
You guys. Well, that's
a,
he's making a point, though,
but the point that I think he's trying to make is this, right? There are people out there that might view that. Not saying that all transgender people are going to do that or doing things of that nature. But he's saying, just like anything else, just like you say, oh, when you...
None are doing it.
Well, no. But there, who's to say that somebody wouldn't?
There's no statistical evidence that
says
there's
any... But you don't know
any,
that. You don't know that.
I know the statistics.
You don't know that a person could be sick in the head, could dress up.
Sure.
And that's my point. But that's the point he's making.
But they would get arrested.
But that's the point that he's making, that it is possible for somebody to dress up and assault a
sure.
young child.
Whether or not there are transgender bathroom laws or not. I mean, and that's what Schilling's post was about. It was about transgender bathroom laws. So.
But understand the other side. I think the point that he was trying to make, which is true, is that when you're so far on one side, whether it's the left or the right, you can't even comprehend what people on the other side are trying to say or what people are in the middle are trying to say.
Because it's asinine. And the people in the middle, enough with them. Pick a side. Do you have a daughter? I do not.
Okay, so if you had a daughter, you might think differently when she goes into the you would. You see, that's the problem.
You might.
Do you have
three kids.
Do you have any girls?
I do.
Right. So you're going to think differently when your daughter.
Suck on it, Reamer. I have a kid.
Three.
But Bradfo, in all seriousness, when you don't have kids or you're not in certain situations where you have firsthand experience,
yeah, you change your view of a lot of things,
right? And that's what Reamer doesn't understand because he doesn't have any firsthand experience,
right? When I have kids, there will be lots of things that I will change.
Let's reconvene when you have a couple kids, yes, and we can have this argument all over again.
As great Ken Laird said, we'll reset.
Yeah.
Yes. We'll reset.
And I'd love to hear, I'm willing to bet you his ideals changed.
We started this whole conversation because of the Manny Ramirez thing from earlier in the week, right?
Because Reamer said that, what did you say, Ramirez is...
No, you guys actually agreed on that.
We agree on Manny that we think Manny has changed.
Yes, it's possible that he could change.
And he's done a lot of introspection.
Your thing was that he was more, I don't know if it was likable or he's a better person or something like that than Schilling is. And the argument that you could make, and Jerry would make, and I understand that, is that Kurt Schilling never was arrested for, domestic violence.
Oh, I never said he was.
Right? Yeah. You know, which Manny was, and I'm a huge Manny fan, but I also think that he changed. But he has this transgression in his past.
The things that Manny did outweigh the things that Kurt Schilling did.
Yes.
We can agree with that with Alex, right?
Completely agree with that.
Right,
absolutely.
Okay. So, but I do agree with both of you. And this idea that, you know, we are going to put this guy in a hole for the rest of his life and never let him come out because of things that he did. Like, we can't think that way. We can't think that. You can have that mindset for that person. That's your prerogative. But I don't know how we can say that to human beings where, you have no chance at redeeming yourself. Now, I would say this about Manny, is that Manny, he comes to the park, and he's friendly and everything else, Well, you know, you have to do more. You have to show me more than just smiling, being
but
a good
quote.
But he
has done that. I mentioned the Cubs example, and you brushed that aside. He was an instructor with the Cubs.
It's a step in the right direction, but you said he was an instructor with the Cubs, and Theo said he did a good job. Okay, it's a step in the right direction. And I do think, in talking to people who know Manny, feel like he has changed. But once again, there is an element that you have to go out and prove yourself. It's going to take time for a lot of people. For a guy like Jerry, it's never going to happen.
No,
it's never going to happen.
And I don't, and listen, if that's his belief, then clearly Jerry's been in a sheltered world where he's never seen people change. My thing is this, and I've said this before, what Manny did was wrong. Can he bounce back from that? Yeah, over time he has to prove that. And he says he's a changed man. I haven't seen him in the news doing anything reckless or crazy. But what Curt Schilling does, I don't think what Curt Schilling, what he does, makes him a bad person. Those are his beliefs. He believes a certain way. He tweets out certain things. He retweets things out.
But my whole point again was just, I think Manny has expressed a lot of contrition the last couple of years.
But Schilling doesn't, he believes in a certain thing. So why would he be, saying, oh, I got to be...
Schilling can come on when he came on with you
very
and
mean
had that back and forth,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, but so what? You said mean things to him.
But he can come on and be, you know, have evidence of his conviction, right?
Right?
Have evidence, whereas Manny Ramirez can't come on and say, you know what, here's why I really threw hands with my wife. I mean, like, that is... There is no defense of
There's no defense whatsoever, and Manny hasn't defended it.
Right, but the point is that Curt Schilling can come on, and a lot of things that you are taking issue with Curt Schilling,
his political beliefs,
he can come back at you and say, well, this is where I'm coming from, and people like Wiggy and people like the caller and say, okay, I get that.
Nobody's doing that with Manny.
And by the way, the whole thing about, you know, when Manny came here, yeah, he came here and he smiled and everything else, and Mutt saying, oh my goodness, you know, the tongue bath from the writers. Yeah. Like,
did anybody think Mutt would ask Manny?
Has Mutt ever been in a clubhouse?
No.
Ever? Ever, ever, ever,
no.
Ever, ever, ever. Like, here's how it worked, Mutt. Manny Ramirez was put in front of a TV to answer about five questions with TV people. Then they took him out, and then they took him into the broadcast booth. And by the way, I talked to Manny in the back of the broadcast booth, and just as I was about to ask him about the things that he's talking about, steroids and things like that, and I have the tape to prove it, Lou Melody came up and started hugging him.
Right.
So I couldn't get my questions off. So my point is, Mutt, before you criticize those people who are there, you are the person who can come to the park and actually ask these questions.
Mutt would do
the same thing. If he was still doing his baseball, what was he doing, that post-game
Red
baseball
Sox
show?
Review.
Yeah, and Manny came on, he would still be, he'd be smiling and doing the same thing. This whole him of, like, he would ask these hard questions. I heard Mutt when he was on Mutt and Merlone. He didn't ask the hard questions like that. He would have done the same thing if Manny was here at Red Sox Stadium. He would ask, oh, Manny, you're doing great, you know. Hey, he hanging, we banging. All right, yeah. We're all, you know, high-fiving each other. Man, that's what Mutt would
be. But you see
doing.
That promotional picture, though, Mutt and Callahan? Mutt looks very intimidating in that puffy vest of his.
I mean, that is... I am curious of who would win the race between, now that I would say between you two, but now I know Wiggy's faster, who would win the race between Mutt and Wiggy.
The more I review that video, I do think I actually did win the race, to be honest
with you. Well, you could have, I think that breaking down the film, much like I did with Porcello, you could have said, hey, you know what, I shouldn't have run so upright,
very
number
upright.
One.
I slowed down with about 5 or 6 yards to go. When I passed you on video, you see me slowing down.
Then I yelped. To try to throw you off the game. That was A-Rod. I got it. Trying to throw the infielder off. That was
By
me.
By the way,
trying
Jackie Bradley has the flu. That's why.
Oh, okay.
Flu-like symptoms for
and
Jackie
Betts
Bradley.
And Mookie's in the third spot.
Mookie is that what I said?
Yeah, I thought you said okay, Mookie was hitting third.
What's Mookie's excuse for dropping fly balls? That was terrible yesterday, Rob.
Bad look.
Quick Red Sox.
Bad look.
Go to the wall, Mookie.
I think he's a better right fielder than
what do you think it is?
Betts is second, but
is it second? Okay. What do you think it is? You think it's just like
the Red Sox thing?
World Series hangover?
No, man. I think first of all, you start with starting pitching. It's not complicated.
Right.
When you don't get starting pitching, you fall behind these games, you aren't going to win.
Right.
And the second of all, there is an element of not paying attention to detail. Whether you want to say that's because of the World Series hangover, whatever it is, they are not paying attention to detail. And Mookie Betts in the outfield is the perfect example.
But wouldn't that be because of the World Series victory, where they might be over?
You think they're out there and they're saying, here's what I...
I don't think they're literally saying, well, you know what, I'm not going to pay attention to the small details, but just the way that they're performing.
I don't think that they had the sense of urgency coming into this year that they did last year.
Then and there you go.
That is undeniable. They can say they did, but it's human nature. When you're trying to prove everyone wrong, when you're trying to prove that Alex Cora is the way of doing things, is the right way of doing things, like they were last year, and they're coming in and they go 17-2, that is paying attention to detail. We can look at last night's game or yesterday's game and pick apart, forget the Porcello thing, pick apart things that never happened last year.
And that when you say sense of urgency, which leads to then paying attention to the little details, which they haven't done, which all comes back to them winning the World Series and them kind of getting out into the season like, hey, we could just kind of roll the ball out there.
Well, I don't think that they did that, but they were put
intentionally.
They were put on their heels by teams that were hungrier than them. They were paying attention to detail more. And people are trying to sort of compare you and you're a good person for this, compare the Patriots. Or look at, like, they bounced back. And I went back and looked at their first few games after winning. They only had – they've been actually pretty good. But you can't say – you can't do – what the Patriots do in baseball.
No.
You can't, like, so Cora has been a lot more this year. I think he's been close to the vest and information and things like that. And so you cannot be Bill Belichick in a baseball season. There's too much access. There's too many games.
Right.
And when football started, and coming off that world championship that you had, there's probably wasn't this big speech about turning the page or not turning the page. It was probably like, okay, you know, we got to show up at 1 o'clock today. This is what we're going to do at 2 o'clock. This is what we're going to do at 3.
Right.
And then boom, boom, boom.
But see, I think the thing in baseball, the thing that helps in baseball, which you can't do in football, you can't, like, the first four games of the season, that's it. That's a, you know, that's a quarter of your season. Where baseball, to if you start 5-10, there's still plenty of
baseball. Well, but the numbers show us. I mean, the Red Sox are 3-9. I mean, not great. I mean, you can't win
a division
in April, but you
so
can
much,
lose it.
There's so much baseball left.
There is.
That it's like, you know, all of that, all they have to do is get on one of those streaks.
But Alex
we've seen them
but
before.
But Alex Spear had the number a couple days ago.
Seven
since
in
the
a
introduction
row.
Of the wild card, 57 teams have started 3-9 and worse, and what, like three of them have made the playoffs?
Well,
so
I would say this too, is that, and it's a good, great number by Alex, but as well as some of these teams have started, like the teams are going to come back to the pack. This Orioles team, Blue Jays team.
You think this lineup is doing damage all summer long?
Exactly. It's going to, like, this is going
to. They'll come back down to earth.
This is what's going to let the teams like the Yankees and the Red Sox.
Right.
Get back into this much more than they were able to years ago.
617-779-7937. We're from our WEI Ford Clubhouse studio. Coming up next, we have media stars with a very special guest. That's next.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Right back to Creamer, Wiggy, and Bradfo on Boston Sports Station, WEEI.
Yeah, we want to push you out of here. We hope you're here forever, but you're getting toward that time where you're going to be on a fixed income. The 2-1 pitch is low and away. Three balls and one strike.
Rays, by the way, are all over the Blue Jays. 8-0.
I'm not saying you shouldn't be buying the green bananas now. But a little planning is probably a good idea. Especially now that I'm familiar with what this outfit pays. 3-1 pitch. There's a little chopper on the right side of the infield, VR.
So the Sean McDonough Comedy Tour rolls on here. It is media stars. Very, very big segment, Rob.
We can start with number one.
We'll start with number one. We're going to break protocol.
Yes.
Do you have the horns, John Anderson?
I'm getting very emotional right now. Quite an honor.
We only bring those are the king trumpets. We only bring them out for the king.
So this week, Sean McDonough made his triumphant return to the Red Sox broadcast. And here he is, our media star of the week, Sean McDonough. Congratulations,
honored,
Sean.
Deeply moved. I've never won anything in this business, so any kind of recognition is good.
And we give you a free water bottle for the victory.
I got two waters.
Yes.
Which is
But I mean that's basically double my pay today for doing the game for WEEI.
The winner of the award obviously gets to race the winner of the Reamer Wiggin. So
yeah, what is your take on that? You saw it during the break. What's the breakdown?
I saw it during the break. You got a head start. I don't know if you jumped the gun
or
if Wiggy was a little slow off the
ball. No, he was a little premature.
But Wiggy showed excellent closing speed. I mean,
the guy
was a long-time professional athlete.
See, but after my false start, though, I paused for a beat or two to give Wiggy a chance to catch up.
That was not shown on the video.
I slowed down
at the end, Sean, and put my hands up, so I had about 5 yards in. So I'm actually slowing down to give him a chance to come on and catch up.
And he did not.
No, he didn't.
Alex reminds me of the old adage, small but slow.
Yes.
That was sort of what I saw.
And I had a sterling athletic career with that.
And I don't know how
that.
You do all those push-ups, but you can only bench the bar.
Sometimes I put 5 pounds on each side if we really want to go crazy.
It's his frame.
Yeah.
He's got,
well, I don't have a spotter. I go to the gym alone. I have no friends. So, I mean, how am I going to have
That's
anyone spot
true.
Me?
You have many friends.
He has a frame of an aging Benjamin Button over there.
Can I ask you a question?
Sure.
Brad Foe?
Brad, that's his thing.
Are we trying a little hard to be a little too cool with that? I mean, I know everybody has.
Trying to give him some street cred.
It's my Twitter account, Sean.
Brad Foe?
We're trying to give him some street cred.
It's my nickname.
Do you know why? The Brad Foe Show.
Brad Foe Show.
That's his podcast.
There's no W at the end of show. It's a whole thing.
Oh, Brad.
It's a branding opportunity.
Foe Show.
Yes. You got to give him a little street cred.
Thanks for listening.
I mean, look at him. He needs help, right?
Thanks for listening. Oh, believe me, we broke this down in the fifth inning. I walked out of there never feeling worse about myself.
Stop it.
It's
you're the whitest white guy I know, for crying out loud.
And there's a lot of them at EEI, so he fits right in.
That would be a hell of a contest. Who's the whitest white guy at EEI? Yeah, I would put Dale, number one.
They fit in.
It's like a 20-way tie.
By the way, they're all in there.
And the one thing I did not realize till I came back here this week to do this, spending the winter in Arizona, is the talent-on-talent crime at WEI. Is that all anybody ever talks about?
It used to be a lot more of that than someone
vicious.
Left the station.
And it's done with this tone like, we all really like each other. But,
you think it is?
I don't think so.
No, I can't. I do not like Alex, personally.
That's not true at all.
I don't.
I can feel
that's
the
true.
Personally?
That's true.
Why personally?
I don't like it because I don't think you're good on the radio, but, it's not my
decision.
Not
personal.
So here, you're proving my point. It's not even, I thought it was show against
show.
I didn't know it was within the show.
Yeah, it's within,
I have no personal animus towards Wiggy. I'm so nice to Wiggy. Yeah, I took his parking pass and media pass, and I gave it to him this morning. I got here half an hour early.
He writes how he wants to see more black coaches in the NFL, but yet he doesn't want more black voices on EEI.
Because they're taking my once-a-week morning position.
Well, that is the one thing that I've learned. You know, everybody's pals with everybody here, unless you're taking my spot.
Right. There you go. Rather than being a man and say, hey, let's compete for it. Now he's like,
I know that I'm getting stabbed in a Sean McDonough voodoo doll by these 17 other
people. Mario and Pemba right now is like.
Mario and Pemba. Just in case I got a game with Mario, I did practice a little kickboxing in the offseason.
Yeah, because he's a big kickboxing guy.
Well, he got in a fight with his smaller commentator in Detroit. They both got fired. I told Joe Castig, man, you better get in the gym because you steal Mario's chair and he gets ticked. This could be all-out hand-to-hand combat.
You need a couple goons with you in the booth, couple of guys from the neighborhood,
You want to pop in the third inning today?
Yeah, why don't you come up?
Hey, I can do that.
Why don't you come up?
We'll put a little look on him.
And that's the other thing. I've known Joe for close to 40 years. I was doing the Nesson pregame show in 1985, I guess, was when I started. So that's when I first met Joe. And I'm really disappointed because he's very hard to get along with in that booth. No, I'm kidding. He's still the nicest man ever and always will be.
You know that you've gotten the Jerry Callahan seal of approval this week with
the
play-by-play work.
Jerry's always been very nice to me. And
loves that you're critical of people.
He likes you're critical. He's critical of the Red Sox. He's not afraid. It is.
All I've been doing is destroying everything about WEEI, and the management seems to like it. I'm going to continue to do that. And Brad Foe over here.
I walked out of there, tail between the legs. I said, I'm doing the marathon. He looked at me like, what?
Okay, so
how is this possible?
See, here's the problem with that, and I said it after you left.
Yeah.
And we remember to tell your story that you were going to finish, by the way.
That's third inning today. You can hear the
rest
of the
story. Oh, you're on the third inning today?
Third inning.
Why, you got a carb load or something?
Yeah, I do. I actually have to leave and go nap.
But, Rob yesterday had on a baggy shirt. I guess when you lose 50 pounds,
right.
You want
all
to throw
the clothes
in a cheap
baggy.
Plug for what was it called?
Ghoul's Distinctive Clothing, yes.
No, the diet.
Did you Awaken 180.
Okay, there you go. See,
I'm trying to get on that myself, so.
I just watched you run down Lansdowne Street here, wouldn't worry about it, Wiggy. You can still move. But you had on quite a baggy shirt yesterday. I didn't notice till you stood up that you're actually
very fit. It's deceiving. It's like, you know, it's like how the football players wear the black shoes to make themselves look slower. That's what I do.
Mm-hmm.
It's all building up to the marathon.
Do you think it's a big mistake that Rob is going to be trying to podcast and tweet while running the marathon tomorrow?
Excellent idea.
I mean, this sounds disastrous to me.
Oh, so Sean...
Well, he's going to do it in 5 hours, basically you could crawl on your hands and knees and make it in 5 hours.
On the broadcast yesterday, Sean said that he would donate $10 to the Jimmy Fund for every person I passed.
Right.
So I am
okay,
counting.
And how about we'll do this?
Yep. Every person
you'll
that
passes. Does EEI pay you enough to do that, though?
You'll give $5 for everybody who passes.
Nah.
Well, are you starting at the back of the line?
Pretty far back,
Plus, you're going to be tweeting and podcasting.
A lot going on.
The audio quality is going to be very good on the Boston Marathon podcast recorded off the iPhone.
That's okay. So I want to ask you, Sean, is it, besides the WEEI crime on crime,
yes,
having been back, is it different than what you thought it would be? Other than like having the awful game yesterday.
Yeah, yesterday made me wonder why I didn't stay in Arizona.
That was a tough game to watch
on all sides. It's been what I expected. It's been fun. You know, Joe is awesome. Lou was a lot of fun. Yeah, I guess we give him credit for the 2-game winning streak because
that's right.
I was ready to take credit for that, and then without Lou, they lost yesterday. But it's been a lot of fun. You know, Fenway Park is special. You know, I've been coming here since I can remember. My earliest memories, and it's still one of those places that's special every time you walk in. And I haven't walked in here very much over the last 15 years.
I don't know if you talked about this the other day, but how did this come about? And I honestly don't know, though I'm part of management.
You know, at the end of last year when it was obvious that Tim Neverett was coming back, Joe Zarbano called me and said, you know, would you have any interest? And there's no way, just contractually or otherwise, that I could do, you know, a full Red Sox radio schedule. And I'm not sure at this stage of my life I'd want to do all those games. But So he called me back a couple of months later when it was apparent they were going to do this hodgepodge thing and said, you know, would you be willing to do some games? And you can decide how many and you can pick which ones. So I said I could do like 30 home games, maybe a couple of games at Yankee Stadium. He said, yeah, just pick which ones you want to do. So I'd be an idiot to say no to that. And the reason I said yes was because it would be fun, and it has been fun. Mm-hmm. You know, it's an awful lot of broadcasters around America who would kill to do a Red Sox game. You know?
The weird thing is on the posters when we announced this, it did say the hodgepodge thing. So
that's it.
Is that, I don't know what they're calling it, rotating.
Well, you thought Neverett was going to be in with you your first game in. You said to Lou Fleming,
late.
You
know, that was sort of for Lou's benefit, I think. Lou Maloney was standing there. I don't even know if I've ever met Tim Neverett. If I have, it was probably a long time ago when he was in Pittsburgh. But I just felt like I think he was the one who sort of floated the false story about WEEI was going to do a talk show during the games and not have traditional play-by-play.
Yes.
And I think that was sort of his cover story for leaving.
It was. Well, it's, you know, because they would say, you know, Tim, let's have a little more conversation in the booth. And he turns around. Oh, they want to make it into a talk show. They want to make it into Kirk and Callahan.
Well, it's pretty clear it's not a talk show. I think conversational is good. And that's been the balance that we've tried to strike here the last few days since I've been doing it is have it be conversational and fun, but still describe what's happening in the game. You can't go three pitches with nobody knowing what's happening. So I think we're doing that, and I hope we are, but it's okay to have conversation.
And be blunt, like yesterday you said, Porcell has nothing. Like,
he didn't. You know,
But if he doesn't...
I don't need this job. I needed it back when they got rid of me the first time.
Right.
No, I'm kidding. But, you know, I'm always going to try to say what I think the people who are watching the game or listening to the game... you know, I think it's even more important to be honest when you're on the radio because the people watching, listening can't see it.
Right.
So, you know, I think we were able to describe Rick Porcello. He didn't have anything yesterday.
So how do you, like, you know, if you're in with so many different people, how do you build? Because it's all about chemistry, right? At anything you do. Like, so do you find that it's a challenge to kind of build chemistry when you're maybe in with a different couple guys here and there? Or is it just you do your thing and you hope that they can kind of catch up to that?
You know, I came in. My only goal the other night was to have fun. Try to do as good a job as I can describing the game. You know, I love Joe Castiglione. As I said, he's been a friend of mine for almost 40 years. you know, he's been a good sport. And you know, when I made the comment about the green bananas, that's as hard as I've ever seen.
I've never seen him laugh. You know, so he's my
not
goodness.
None of them. I think those guys up there all know nothing I say is intended right. to take him. You know, with our buddies, it's probably the same thing with your friends.
Right.
If they're not jabbing you,
right,
they don't
right.
like you. You
right.
know what I mean?
So yeah, that's,
you know, Will Fleming took to it. I asked him the other day, "Do you mind if I call you Flemball?" You know, like I call him Flemball. The first, that's what I call his brother. And he said, "No, it's funny.
Right.
You know, I don't care." And you know, it gives him a little more of a role too.
Right.
So he enjoyed it, but. No, it's a good question, Wiggy, because, you know, I know Lou when I was doing the games when he played, but I don't
right.
know him well.
Right.
And, you know, he dove right in,
right.
Too. So it's been a lot of fun. It'll continue to be a lot of fun. I know Dave O'Brien very well. We're going to do some games later in the season, so the chemistry part of that will be easy.
How much longer are you here for this stint, the McDonough stint? Is it through the Yankees?
Through tomorrow. We're doing the two games in New York, and then I have to go to the University of Georgia.
Okay, how about
spring
the dogs?
Game. The ESPN is doing a feature. About five of us ESPN types are going to officiate some of the spring game. They're going to give us a clinic Friday night, Steve Shaw from the SEC, and then I'm going to be one of the officials on the field Saturday. So
oh, wow.
I just don't want to be the umpire. You don't get run over.
Yeah, you don't want to be. You want to be like the line judge.
Yeah,
that's
something
it.
That's well out of the way.
Way out of the way, right?
I'd
at
actually
the
like to be the ref.
You know, the ref's not bad either. Just,
with all your criticism of the referees over the years,
I'd
it
like
would
to be the ref.
It would be
I'm
ironic
throw a flag
to see
on every play just so I can make a bunch of announcements. Well, sideline warning, get back, coach.
It'll be very interesting because of Georgia games. There'll be a ton of fans there. You know, the Bulldogs. Don't Kirby Smart's a great guy, so we should have some fun. Hey, listen, how about them dogs, man?
He's kissing up to Christian Fourier.
My alma mater.
How did you wind up there?
And my alma mater. My head coach at the time, Jim Donnan, left Marshall.
I love then, Coach D.
Yep, went down to Georgia, and he said, "You want to come?" I said, "Hell yeah!"
Yes,
yes, definitely. So that should be fun. I'll have to check. Now is this going to be
a lot of fun? Then I'm going back to Arizona to answer your question.
Are they going to broadcast that on ESPN?
I think the game is being televised on ESPN.
Okay.
I don't know if it's also part of a feature that they're going to do for game day or
check
something.
Check the critique as a referee.
Well, oh, yeah.
That needs to happen with all the critiquing you've done, the officiating. Like
absolutely.
I said over the years,
it
would only be appropriate. We'll let you out on this. So you've won a lot of awards throughout your career. Where are you going to put this Media Star Award?
Do I actually get something?
Yeah, you
get
a Ghoul's Distinctive Clothing gift card.
And as much water as you'd like to take.
And as much water,
you've got to hydrate.
Got very important.
No, I'm deeply honored.
Thank you, Sean.
Appreciate it very much.
Anytime.
Appreciate it. In all sincerity, and as you know, the most important thing in broadcasting is sincerity. And as soon as you learn how to fake that, you're all set. But in all sincerity, I really appreciate how nice the fans have been to me this weekend. I don't mean to get emotional. I am a little bit. But to be greeted and welcomed back in this way is really, really special.
Can always come home.
Appreciate it. Yeah. It's been cool.
That's
and I'm
good.
Grateful to WEEI and to the Red Sox for giving me the opportunity to do this.
And that was the false sincerity.
No, I can't fake cry. I got a couple tears in my eyes. So no, it's been just walking in and
well,
out of
like
the park
said,
the last
been
few days
coming
and walking
here,
around town.
You said you've been coming here as far as you can remember. You
right.
know, I mean, so it's I would think that to kind of live out something that you probably always dreamed about, now you're actually doing it, then you come back over so much time. And to be, you know, to understand that point, growing up out here in Boston and being a fan of the Patriots, then playing, but different situation where you watched this as a kid, and now you're, you know, millions of people listening to you on the radio.
Well, we hope. You know, I have said many times, as a kid, this is the job I always wanted.
Right.
To be one of the announcers for Red Sox. And in opening day 1988, when I sat in that TV booth and looked out at the field, that holy
right.
moly, I'm going to do this.
Right.
This is really my job. You know, I still get chills. On that image, looking out at the field, will never leave my mind.
Sean, great to have you here. Great to have you back. Thank you for
Alex.
Coming in
yes.
for the Media
Wiggy,
Stars.
Always a pleasure.
See you up on the booth.
Bradfo.
Yes.
Bradfo.
We'll continue the
Bradfo
conversation.
Show.
There you go. I can't wait for you to
right.
finish that story from
oh,
yesterday.
My goodness. The Troy Lovello story. Who
so, Sean McDonough here. I'm on the call. 1 o'clock. David Price on the bump. Hopefully he has more.
That's my boy, DP.
We'll be right back. Reamer Bradfo Week.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Becca Reamer, Wiggy, and Bradfo on Boston Sports Station, WEEI.
There will be boo birds out if they don't play well.
There'll be no boo birds.
Of course, they're talking about how they play. Chris Sale gets chased. There'll be boos. Bad plays. There'll be boos.
They're talking about these reductions.
So we had a special edition of Media Stars this week. Sean McDonough in studio to accept his award.
Yes.
Bumped number 3 and 2. I was going to give Muttman some credit for correctly predicting that Chris Sale would get booed on opening day.
Is he number 2?
He was number 3. Okay. I was giving my man Luke O'Neill the number 2 honor for angering Jerry Callahan.
Okay.
So there you go.
Hey, that's not hard to do.
They can get the horns are in the mail.
The right. Horns are in the mail, yeah. Fellas. Yes.
That and the water bottles.
Yes, we were getting that and the water bottles. Yes, we were going to give the Muttman some credit for his very prescient take there.
Yeah, I think it was worth it to have Sean on, and obviously, I mean, he's been great.
Oh, he's been awesome.
And also being up there with him, he mentioned the whole talk show narrative, yeah. That mm-hmm. thing. The way that he does it, and Josh Lewin and all these other guys have done a good job of it, too. That's what it is. We're having a conversation.
Right.
That's
right.
It.
While announcing the game.
That's
right.
It.
And that was the misnomer always. Like, oh, it's going to turn into Mutt and Callahan or some morning zoo thing. Like, here's a call.
We're not talking about, like, Robert Kraft, Orchids of Asia in right. the middle of the Red Sox game.
Right. And we didn't do any Robert Kraft today because I am so tired of that story. The new developments.
Also, we had good banter. We had a race to run
we had
and
a
good
race.
Banter.
Yes, yes. But that is
right,
story.
Wiggy?
That is exactly right. So and I was the winner of that race, and I think we've
with an asterisk.
No,
I'm
no
giving
no
you an asterisk.
You cheated.
Yep.
You started early.
It's a results. It's a results business.
Yep. Right. You started
contesting
early.
Testing the results.
How? When you cheated? When
because
you
I gave
outside.
You. Because I paused. There's a little.
Nobody
pause.
Told you to pause after you cheated.
I was
that's
giving
your own
you
fault.
A chance to catch up. That's how nice I am.
Like, make it sound like I cheated. You're the one who cheated, and then
what are we going to do next week for our athletic competition?
Oh, we got to see you do your what is it?
40-30-20-10. Yeah, my push-up regimen. Be very exciting.
Could you do that?
Scintillating radio.
What are we doing? So you do 40 push-ups.
40 push-ups, take like a 20-second breather, then yeah. 30 push-ups, yeah, another breather, 20-10.
Yeah, but yeah. then you can only bench press the bar, so I might be calling a little long.
I'm intrigued by the Wiggy pop time, the catching. Catching something, throwing something out at second.
Well, I told you, whenever you want to go on the field, I got my glove. It's all oiled up. The ball's in it, and, you know, rubber bands are wrapped around it. So whenever you want, we could take fly balls, ground balls, whatever you want. You want to get behind home plate? And
I hated taking ground balls as a kid. Hated it.
I could do all that.
First step, ice up tonight.
Back practice.
Ice up tonight.
Yeah, I'm going to ice up my right hand.
Ice up tonight, and then we'll reconvene about what the next endeavor is going
to
be.
Yes. It has to be something. I mean, maybe it's just something Wiggy can do, because I cannot pop up and throw from as a catcher. I can't. I don't even know how to put on the equipment.
Can you even take a ground ball?
I mean, I could try.
Jesus.
They would go through my legs, hit off my shins, hit off my chin.
Yeah, bad.
It's terrible.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, that's why I never made Little League, because they would always have the ground ball
you
portion of the
right
tryout.
Field, right field.
Right field, 3 innings.
Yeah.
that was the back of my jersey. It didn't say Reamer. It said right field, three innings, batting
it.
Ninth, strikeout. Oh, but even Derek Jeter strikes out, but not every time, Dad. Not every time.
Even Chris Davis will get
your
a
dad
hit.
Dad compared you to Jeter, huh?
You know, we didn't mention that. Chris Davis, the streak ends.
Oh, yeah, he finally got a hit.
That's how bad Rick Porcello was yesterday.
Well, I mean, do you feel good for Chris Davis?
I do.
I said in the pregame show, you like to feel good for him, but at the same time, he's making millions of dollars.
Right.
And
you're a professional.
This isn't like you can do it, I can do it, and you can't. I could have gone 0 for 54.
Right.
So good for him for getting a couple hits, and now he can be back to the
Or you could say that you could have at least gotten one hit before you got to 54 at-bats. I would think that I could get a hit. I might go 0 for 20, but maybe by 21, 22. I don't think I go 0 for 54.
I think we got our next competition. See if we can get a hit.
So I am going to time what it took I don't know if that was 40 yards.
I don't know.
You said 5 flat to 40.
Yeah, but that wasn't 40 yards, okay. And then I didn't have the proper running attire. Right.
We're off to a good start.
Gentlemen, it was a pleasure to be together. Let's do this again next week. What do we think?
Let's do our home run challenge.
Home run challenge. See you guys. Red Sox baseball coming up next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.